Dan and Nick, 1 minute to curtain.
Hang on, we've just come up against a deadline.
He's still alive! Run!
Is this the right studio? Okay, well, let's try in here.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Dimbleby, and I welcome you to the magnificent rolling vistas of the celebrated banqueting hall at my house. We've got a distinguished panel of guests today. The poet and veterinary surgeon Rolf Harris, the raconteur and moral philosopher Jim Davidson, celebrity chef Dave from my local chippy, and token scary intellectual woman Martine McCutcheon. We'll be examining many crucial issues in the programme, like what's the point and can you guess what I'm holding? But for our first question, we turn to old and bored of Tewkesbury, who asks, has anyone seen my teeth?
Welcome to 40 nights in the... Oh, sorry.
Will you get out of here? Can't you see I'm trying to do a programme?
Welcome to 40 Nights in the Wildebeest. Tonight's show is the last in the present series. Thank you for your support.
No problem, it didn't fit me anyway.
Well, in a hilarious show tonight, Dellen Rodney are up to no good and Trigger finds himself in hot water. Meanwhile, on this show...
we have a special guest star. In the jazz section, our guest will be Dizzy Gizlexic, who plays the crumpet.
And now on Radio 4, in the spirit of dumbing modernization, it's time for Bird's Hour, presented by some bird.
All right. Today on Bird's Hour, how to waste your life shopping. 10 top tips to please your man in bed. We discuss technical things. What are they all about, eh? We don't know. But first, can women do car mechanics? I went down to see Darren at the Arches. Now, Darren, I didn't quite get that. Run that one by me again.
All right, darling. I'll say it again really slowly. Car.
And now it's time for our location report. We go to the set of The Seventh Seal.
All right, places, everyone. And action.
And now, by popular request, it's time for Great Insect Bands of the 90s. Will you please welcome Cricket Martin?
Into devastation and we feel decimation. You'll look at proper Charlie when she's eaten all your barley. She's the reason your local Waitrose runs out of new potatoes. Just like a Bible parable, what she does is really arable. Her jaws are made of chitin, and that's why they're good at fighting. She's a master masticator with a microscopic brain. She'll munch through all your grain. She's living la vida locust. Living la vida locust. She eats just like a gannet. Her ass is the size of a planet. She'll snaffle all your crop like a Canadian in a waffle shop. She's got chubby locust chops and huge exploding thighs. Looks like an insect Russell Grant, and she no longer flies, cause she's eaten all the pies, stopping all the rice and excreting tapioca. but she will explode if you try to poke her.
And now,
Dan and Nick's historical briefs.
The development of mathematics.
X-axis. Y-coordinate. Plot. Origin. Squared paper.
We apologize to listeners for that outburst of graphic language.
Mathematics has a long and noble history. In 2800 BC, counting began in Europe. In 4000 BC, someone put them off and they had to start again.
In 3000 BC, the Egyptians developed a systematic numbering system.
Right, ladies, go on, don't be shy. Sort of hammer thing, 22. Two fat ibises. Three. Man with Alice band and tea cloth sideways on. One. God of the sun.
Wrong.
Oh, you've won, love.
Fractions were invented by Henry VIII and his son, Henry XVI. Who was a drug dealer.
There are four types of fraction. Proper fractions, improper fractions, vulgar fractions, and criminally obscene fractions.
It was in ancient Greece that more complex mathematical operations developed. For example, subtraction was invented by King Minos.
What ails you, sire?
I had a recurring dream. It went 1.333333333. I want you to tell me the result of adding these numbers.
The sum of them?
No, the all of them.
What if we multiply them by putting an X here?
No, it's a sign of the times.
Maths can, of course, get very complex. There are even such constructs as irrational numbers. They are the same as rational numbers, except for 5 days a month.
Mathematics was brought to Britain by the Angles, who invaded Britain after the curves left. There were three types of angle.
Acute angle.
Hello.
Obtuse angle.
Not doing that.
And rectangle.
You are betrayed.
There are famous mathematicians without number, but they're less successful than those with.
Leibniz did calculus and invented posh German biscuits. And William Oughtred developed the famous slide rule.
Rule one, go down one at a time, keep your feet in the sack. Two, no one who works here can wash or smile.
But no mathematician captured the imagination so much as Archimedes. He invented set theory, which deals with badges, planar geometry, even planar geometry, really dull geometry, and many new shapes, including the dodecahedron, which is now extinct.
How goes it, Master Archimedes?
Eureka! I have discovered buoyancy.
How, Master?
Through the maxim of Socrates. Try a bit of buoyancy.
Now, ready yourself for my new creation. I call it a theorem.
The antidote to a snake bite?
Yes.
And now it's time for the radio foreplay. Sorry, I'll read that again. And now it's time for the radio foreplay. We present...
The Jungle Book by Mr. Kipling.
Dan, do you like Kipling?
Don't know, I've never kippled.
Look for those dodgy recipes, those deadly English recipes that clog up all your arteries for life. And then you'll surely rest in peace, because your arterial intestines were knackered by those recipes of lard.
I have called this council of the cakes to ask for your help. My son has gone missing. I fear he may have been taken by my ex-husband.
Jump in this dessert.
How will it help?
You'll get custody.
Fellow cakes, we must brave the jungle to find our friend.
But where can he be?
He may have strayed into the ghetto. Come on. The only thing we have to fear is the python.
Why?
It's a 24-hour pie-eating contest. Let's go.
Look, the snake car. A quick way for snakes to get around. There's someone coming.
Mr. Kipling makes it exceedingly good, sake.
Oh, no! It's the creepy old man who does the adverts! Stop there, old man. We are the cakes.
Oh, have you got any brownies with you?
Oh! We need to talk to you. Come back!
Coconut surprise muffins, Boston.
It's no good. We'll never catch him. We're too stodgy and lardy. Who can help us?
The savior of the cakes.
Not yet.
There lived a certain chick in England long ago. Her buns were great and she needed lots of dough. Her melons tasted juicy and her peaches were fantastic. She did things with nuts that would bust your pants elastic. From her lovely lips came lots of useful tips, how to tenderize your breast and thigh and fillet. She brought me to my knees with her saucy anchovies and taught me how to stuff and grill it. Dee-dee-delia, what is the strange appealia? You take ingredients and put just enough in. Dee-dee-delia, I'd like to cop a philia. Show me your cakes and I'll give you a muffin. To teach the world to cook is Delia's lifelong mission, but it's hard to maintain her missionary position. When Delia cooks the dishes, everybody's happy, but if you try them out at home, they taste like granddad's nappy.
Oh, those muffins.
Far away, a spaceship is approaching a strange and mysterious planet.
Where are we?
I don't know. Hey, this river isn't water. It's wine.
Yes, my friends. You have landed on the planet of the grapes.
What year is this?
A very good year. Are you Charlton Heston, who played El Cid?
Yes. Who are you?
I'm Cornelius, played by Andy McDowell. Listen, you are in grave danger, but we will help you. We are the lesser fruits, oppressed into a caste system by the evil ruling grapes.
I see you also have red currants.
Yes, I've just had a hot bath. Come, we must consult the elderberries.
Why are you lying face down on the carpet?
Sorry, Charlton. I just can't take my eyes off your rug. Oh, no! Look out! The grapes have found us!
What's wrong with that?
They're a bad bunch!
Get your stinking seeds off me, you damn dirty grape!
I will not take my hands off you, will not, shall not, in a shoe. I do not like green eggs and ham, and I wasn't keen on your performance in the Omega Man.
Who are you?
I am the leader, Dr. Seuss. I live with a moose in a great caboose. On this planet, the humans are put to good use. They're made into wine, and the grapes rule the roost. So humans, prepare to be made into juice.
What? You mean...
Yes, you will eat kosher and be nice to your mums. Seize them. Call in my elite squad of plums.
Stop this immediately. You can't do it. It's a breach of their fruit rights.
It's Dr. Quince, exotic fruit pathologist.
This is murder. I won't let you crush these men and make them into really mean champagnes.
You mean?
Yes, he turns them into brutes. Or even worse, Italian wines.
Chianti?
No, he can't. Stop, everybody up against the wall. Long live the revolution! Down with the forces of industrial capitalism and communist CIA-funded, dollar-funded oligarchy.
Hooray! It's the fruit resistance leader, Che Guava.
I offer you freedom, my fruity friends. Freedom and the chance to have your face on every student's bedroom before they become a stockbroker. What's your name, Sonny?
Robbie Williams Pear.
Here. Read this, the works of Karl Marx.
No, I'm loving Engels instead.
Dr. Seuss, the time of the grapes is past. You will be crushed.
But grapes are superior to men, and I'm setting up a quango. I've only done what a grape must, and I have never seen a mango.
Come on, man. You've got to get out of this madhouse.
You can use the bramble patch. It'll help you to give up brambles.
Let's climb up. Let's climb up that climbing tree thing.
Vine.
I'm glad you agree.
No, don't go around that corner.
Oh, no. You finally did it. You maniacs. What is it? The statue of Lee Pramil.
And now, as another shoddy chapter in Radio 4 history staggers to its sorry conclusion, we dedicate this song to our listener.
As we sing, there's an old lady in Hampton Wick who's getting out her husband's dictionary. She's looking up a word so she can write in and complain along the lines of
the BBC. I'm writing in disgust about a filthy word I heard whilst listening as I enjoyed my Daily Mail.
But as she flicks the pages, she's dismayed to find the rudeness is all in her own mind. Because a cock is a male domestic fowl.
Nipples
a country near Tibet.
A bum is a tramp, not a bowel.
Doggy style
is a canine fashion show hosted by Rolf Harris and a vet.
A stiff member is a dead MP and a beaver.
Lives in a pool.
Frigg is a goddess of Norse mythology. Spanking the monkey
is cruel.
In Dickens, ejaculated means he said a muffin is just a type of bread. A man with a massive stalk on has a heron-like bird on his head. A shag is a bird and tits are as well. A breast
means a pair, a line.
A dong is a thing that pertains to a bell. And a cleat
is a device consisting of two horn-like prongs projecting horizontally in opposite directions from a central base, used for securing ropes on ships. And also it's quite difficult to find.
Meanwhile, our old lady in Hampton Wick is feeling a little prick of conscience. She's writing another letter saying,
sorry, BBC, I realized I was wrong, because you see, a whopping erection is a building in whopping. What's more, I'm quite convinced, if I hear Purple Vein, then your standards aren't dropping. Purple Vein is a song by Prince. If I go out in a boat, you see, it's normal to find some rollers. To call it rude is a fallacy, and clam jousting is a tournament for medieval mollusks.
And balls describes this show.
This week, hunting the big facts on
communication.
From earliest times, man has tried many methods of communicating with his fellows at a distance.
You called for me, my king?
Yes, I wish to convey a message the distance of 1 league.
I have an idea, sir. Let us tie the message to this pigeon.
Brilliant. Proceed. Ah. In Africa and South America, distant tribes communicated urgent messages using drums. For example, this means help, I'm in terrible danger. And this means help, I'm in a terrible jazz band.
A slightly more effective means of communication arrived when Roland Hill invented the postal service.
This led to the coining of the term post-coital, meaning after the mail comes.
At first, stages were used to carry the mail, but they were slow because they were often covered in actors and scenery. Then came the Pony Express. This was so fast in comparison that it was the early equivalent of email.
Ah, it's the Pony Express with the mail. What have you got for us, Zeke?
Well, I got a long list of crap jokes sent from one office joker to the next.
The Pony Express fell into disuse when the telegraph was invented, allowing people to do the crossword.
Then came an even faster method of communication for urgent messages, the telegram, and then the singing telegram. Yes?
Hello, are you Jane Gibson?
Yes.
I have a singing telegram for you. Hey, hey, your family's dead. Every single one of them, they've all died. So's your dog.
This innovation was, however, eclipsed by the genius of Alexander Graham Bell. In 1906, he invented the world's first telephone.
Hello? One.
But this is the age of telecommunications. In the last 20 years, telephone answering machines have become the norm. Despite the fact that the answering machine has been around for years, many people still have trouble leaving succinct messages.
Hello, this is Dave speaking. I'm either not in or I'm unable to come to the phone right now. Please leave your name, number, the time you called, reason for calling, your mother's maiden name, your national insurance number, the name and address of your last four schools, the name of your first pet, and an essay entitled What I Did in the Summer Holidays after the tone. And we'll call you back as soon as possible. Which is never, because you've already died of old age. Or you can call me on my mobile. The number is 07615. But you didn't catch that, so you'll have to listen to the whole bleeding message again.
Being in constant touch is a mixed blessing and can lead to feelings of rejection when an expected call does not come.
Telecom call minder. Thank you for calling. You have no mates. For further one. For a good time, choose hash.
And if you've enjoyed Big Fact Hunting with Dan and Nick, you can send off for a Big Fact Hunt fact sheet.
Midnight hour, when there's no one else around, the announcers lose their power when they hear that beeping sound. 'Cause when they close down Radio 4, they don't have to talk posh anymore. In the midnight hour,
midnight hour.
And that concludes programs for today on Radio 4. It's nearly midnight. Thank you for listening. It just remains for me, Peter Donaldson, to make you feel completely inadequate by saying words like police, an hotel, guerrilla, and speaking in English so perfect that I make Brian Sewell sound like Billy Bragg. From all of us here at Radio 4, good night.
Thanks, Peter. We're all there.
Oh, thank Christ. We're there. Oh, dear. Oh, busting for Jimmy all the way through there. Oh, how's it for you? Swift off down to Dog and Duck. Oh, better out than in. Oh, you two, right? Don't know I'm breathing, eh? Hey, oh, sweet and oh, me hemorrhoids are killing me. Oh.
But if you wait till the stars come out and Corey Caulfield's done her stint, well, she can drop her sexy addiction and turn back into an Essex vent. Cause when Radio 4 goes to sleep, their accents get common and cheap in the midnight hour.
Midnight hour.
This is Corey Caulfield. Yes, it's all very well being a new man and riding a bike, but you're still imagining what I look like. Yes, let my vowels wash over you like quicksilver. And now, from all of us here at Radio 4, have a very good night.
Off air, Corey.
Oh, I'm glad that's over. Oh, God. Hunter's a fag, Willie. I'm gasping. Billy Walker, mayor of a Cardian Coke or a spritzer.
Oh, darling, fancy in the trembler.
Oh, I front is Mr. Donaldson.
Oh, like your pips.
Oh, Johnson.
Forty Nights in the World of Beast was written and performed by two diamond geezers, Dan Friedman and Nick Romero.
Oh, he's the Italian.
Well, I don't know. And the music was played by the gents. No, yeah. It's Jazz and Dave, lads, eh? And the producer was Julia Mayers.
Well, if you wait till the morning comes and you're listening at the crow of the cock, if you tune in a bit too early, you might get a bit of a shock. Cause when the dawn finally comes, they've got to get back to talking to plums. When the
morning comes,
people, if I say something, I mean it. See, I like you, I've always liked you, you're my pal. But if you try one with me, I'll call you, cause I know karate. See, it's your funeral, I'll call you.
Jim, you're on air.
Oh, this is the Today program on Radio 4 with James Naughton.
Ah, Naughty, you bird. You don't have to do that today. It's bank holiday, innit? I've been winding you up, haven't I, eh?
Oh, Donaldson, yeah. You bum. I'll kill you.
Oh, come on in. Let's have it. Come on, let's be having it. Come on.
Oh, stop it, you two. Here comes Brian Perkins. He'll sort you out.
Oh, Brian Perkins. Oh, well, come on then, Brian. If you think you're old enough, come on.
This is Brian Perkins. I've just got here from Newcastle. Here's the travel news. Jorgen is home in an ambulance.